The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
This is The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. We couldn't have a week of daily updates for volunteers in netball without revisiting our 2020 chat with the wonderful Sheila Redpath, someone that continues to do so much for the game. She's hugely influential in a lot of volunteer stories, but how did she get started?
Back in, 1969, when I moved to Bedfordshire, and Bedfordshire, actually like Gary, will be my home county for life. It's given me so much, and I started playing there. I then went into volunteering on Bedford committees, East Region committees, and then moved, well, I didn't really move anywhere apart from doing some volunteering work at England Netball round about 86, 87, where I travelled up to Victoria. CEO was Liz Nicol, and there was probably only two other people in the office, but that was all volunteer work. And then carried on umpiring, tutoring, assessing, went to Canada in 1986 to coach, which I don't profess to be a particularly good coach, but they were desperate, which they must have been. Did that, and then came back in 1987, and the rest is history as far as work is concerned, because then I worked for England Netball up until 2017. But still I umpired, coached, umpired, assessed, as a volunteer, fitted that in, as every other volunteer does, fits it in with the work that they do. I was just fortunate, and I'm still fortunate enough, to have been paid at times for a job that I love.
Obviously that progression from league to county to regional to national, it's what it's all about.
It is, if you want to. And there's a lot of volunteers out there who I know, have moved through those ranks. They've gone through, different levels of coaching, different levels of umpiring, and they've achieved the top. They've also achieved a top if they're not they're just a player, to become a chairman of England Netball, a president. But there's an awful lot of people out there that are, and I don't mean just, but they are the life and blood of our association, that they are the county umpiring secretaries, the league secretaries, the umpiring secretaries, trying to find umpires, the day before. They are the blood of this association. And if we didn't have a governing body of sport, if we didn't have a paid office, we would still play netball.
This is true, yeah.
Yeah, and I've made so many friends from netball as a volunteer going around, and even in my work, I know a lot of the people because one goes out and sees them on events and actually ends up assessing them and helping them in their umpiring. And I love it.
You're
this old ride age.
Hugely experienced member of Team White as well. We had a chat with Gary and he obviously was naturally grateful as well. So what was he like in shorts? No, that wasn't the question.
What was he like in Gary is everything that any mother would be proud of, and any person who has been involved with him and seeing him in his career. When you retire from doing a practical umpiring, when you see people that you have helped move on the system, that gives me more pleasure when I see him umpiring and being at Commonwealth Games and actually at the World Youth Cup in whenever it was, when he passed his international. I was there with Jan Burke, who mentioned as well, I gather. And it's just great seeing somebody like that and some of the assessors that we're currently using work through the system and know that you sort of helped them a little bit on their journey. But again, they were volunteers. And umpiring, Gary is still a volunteer when he umpires.
And that's the whole thing about this. It's about volunteering, but we do it because we love the game.
But without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, God. I mean, would some of us go out and stand in the cold and the rain? And a lot of matches are still being played out. This is happening in where I've now moved to in Great Yarmouth. Tuesday night, Lowestoft League is out there, come rain or shine. But people are doing it. They're playing, they're umpiring, they're coaching, they're doing the scoring and timing. And the counties around the country that probably don't play their matches outside, well, that's where I really would want to go. But not to not see the people where our sport starts. And it's all outdoor netball.
You must have been quite lucky in seeing some of the world's best and our English players develop as well over the years.
Oh, yes, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I hate to say it at times, that when somebody, if I'm involved in doing technical officialing or things like that, well, who played, and particularly with my own Super League club, Maverick, well, I'm getting to know them, but I'm always tending to focus on the umpire and everything, although from a playing point of view, my Tamana from New Zealand was our performance director a few years ago, but I was fortunate enough to be able to umpire for her at the Worlds in Sydney in 91. And seeing some of our youngsters, Serena Guthrie and all of those, moving up from when they were a youngster, moving up to be able to play at this top level, fabulous. I mean, the opportunities that they get now, like the umpires, there are a lot of good opportunities for them. And it's lovely to see our sport progress as it has, to maybe three or four staff members back in 1987, and to the number of people that we actually had volunteering. And now look at nearly 100,000 people that we've got playing or involved in netball. It's fantastic.
I know volunteers that are there at the big events like opening games or matches at the Copper Box for England, and what they get out of it as well is nothing short of being there and being part of it.
And that's it. Why do they do it? You know, it's certainly not for the payment. It's certainly not, you know, for travelling expenses. They want to be involved. They want to be involved. They want to be around, you know, that England scene particularly, or when they go to a World Cup, meeting people who are like-minded with them, that they're passionate about the sport, and particularly the volunteers who work at those events or work in the local leagues. We couldn't do it without them. We could not play netball without that infrastructure of our county and leagues. They are amazing. And they don't always value themselves as much as they should do.
A lot of people are just happy enough with a quick selfie with a player or two, so that sounds good.
Oh, I can tell you that. I mean, you know, I was quite pleased that somebody actually wanted my selfie at the Copper Box.
Wow.
Just don't be so surprised, Andy, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Wanted it, and I said, well, no, you sure you don't want Gary Burgess? Because if anybody asks me what have I done in netball, they don't want to hear the boring stuff that I've just been relaying to you. Well, actually, worked for England netball for a while, but actually I've mentored Gary Burgess and I'm still doing it. Oh, and that of course lights them up completely, you see. And I'm proud of that, very proud of that, and proud to call in the friends.
Well, enough of him. We've already spoken about him too much. Tell me a bit about that Canada trip. That sounds amazing.
Well, it was. It came about because I'd been on holiday about 6 months before and just happened to look around and see there was some netball going on and got talking to people. And then, you know, a few months later, I got an invitation from Alberta Netball Association to go out for 6 months and stayed with, funnily enough, English people that are now back over in England, and spent 6 months working with the Alberta team, learning an awful lot from the English and the Australian people that were there. Because you had to go out to a school and you had to lay the court every single time. You know, tape or chalk. One husband made the posts that we had to put in the car to go. And you don't realise how lucky we are at times. We always think, oh, Australia got it made. Well, they've had years to produce the courts and things that they have. But going to Canada, to a country that netball was not a big part, only in Vancouver, and I did a world champion, well, their world netball Canadian championship, and made so many friends, and just went out to a couple of schools far each, oh God, far, further up north in Alberta, which was horrific with the snow and everything. And gradually, people there are starting to, you know, respect netball a lot more. And I learned, as I say, I learned a lot, but I knew I didn't want to do coaching. I wanted to make sure that umpiring was where I was going to go. But the volunteers that I've made and still got, you can't put it into words. I was very, very lucky to be able to do that trip and to come back and to walk into a job at England Netball and still to be part of a volunteering structure.
We've done pretty well so far. We've got this far in, and we haven't mentioned that Rose Award that you got in 2020. 2019.
Okay, well, yes.
Pretty special.
Special, of course. You know, embarrassingly. You know, one doesn't go looking for accolades. You know, the pleasure that I get from seeing other people doing well now, I've had my time, I've been fortunate enough. But to get that Rose Award, and particularly with it being a joint award with Brian Worrell from Hertfordshire, who again is a very close friend, and it to be because of our Indian Netball Archive. Because that, well, it's archived, but it will be our future. And the work that him and I and other people have done, Joe Mills, have been involved with doing it, was a surprise. Without a shadow of a doubt, Andy, I was, you know, I'm honoured to have got an Honorary Life membership. Mm. I still can't understand why I've got that, but that Rose Award, and doing it in a lovely venue as it was up in Liverpool, again, sitting on an East Region table, which we were doing, and thinking, well, okay, we've got this award, and I find it difficult to talk about awards, because for me, that's not what it's about. It is for anybody, and I think that's maybe why we don't get many people coming forward, because people don't always talk about what they've done. But it was very, very special, and I'm able now, in the place that I now live, to be able to have that that award up on my mantelpiece.
And it is important that we obviously recognise the early years of the game, but also have something in place in the future where we can find out more about the likes of Fran and George and...
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, we can go back, yeah. You know, we need to be recording every player's history, not just their caps, but the coaches as well, the team managers, the people that give in any team of players. Not necessarily, it has to be about our history, and that will be England, but in the regions, they have to start recognising the people as a player, as a coach, as an administrator, have done to develop within their own region.
This is the Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. Sam Oldfield is another incredible volunteer. She's staff's umpiring secretary and chair of Harriers. And since we last spoke to her on her volunteering, she has now moved to a new role and is now also the chair of the Stoke League. So what does she make of National Volunteer Week?
I started when I joined my local club, which was Harriers. It's still where I am today. And I just saw an environment that was really inspiring. The women were doing so much more than just turning up, playing netball. They were heavily involved in local leagues, but they were also just doing things for the club itself, organising raffles, tournaments, and I just wanted to be like them. So I started originally down the traditional netball recruitment paths, I would say, for volunteers, which is you're officiating and coaching. But then I became vice captain of a team, and I just saw how much work went into enabling a team just to function. You know, playing doesn't just happen. Mm. And that's when I started to really immerse myself into the vast world of netball committees. And that really, you know, was how I was able to express myself and pass on different ideas to others.
Is there much difference between that club level and league level?
Do you know what? No, I think it's one of those difficult ones for me to kind of say yes or no, because I think it depends on you as a person and how you feel in the different environments. I think if you've got confidence, or even if you don't have confidence, this will help that grow. I think one of the big skills on any committee that is so valuable is the ability to just sit and listen. I think that is so underrated. And so if you can be in the room around the table, just sat and listening to what's going on, then you can start to make impact. And I see that at all levels of the committee and within every role of the committee. and how those committees all work with each other. So whilst the traditional roles, I would say, are very much the same, you know, if you're a chair of one, you could be a chair of another. Your focus just obviously needs to be different in those different settings. But, you know, don't be put off by, you know, oh, that's a county committee, so therefore that seems far more important or significant in some way. Because I would just say, open yourselves up, put your hand up and say yes to any of those opportunities, because it all just helps netball to become so much more valued and important in a particular area.
That's one of the big advantages of volunteering at the best of times. Just, you always get so much out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you don't need to go down the traditional routes in order to have that impact or to feel that way. And you will learn and grow so much through being on a committee.
What have been some of your good bits, some of your best bits in the time?
So if I look at my kind of progression through
trophies,
if I look at progression at my club, you know, it starts off with, you know, starting in one team, your playing skills move you into new teams. But actually, as well as that, you know, your committee kind of responsibilities also then highlight other aspects and avenues of the club's success and the, you know, enabling that club's success. So booking the local Pontins netball tournament, which, you know, you take 20, 30 women to, you get there, you have a really great weekend, but you come away with a trophy at the end of that. You know, what's the better feeling? And then that trophy isn't just those seven people who stepped on court. It's all the people who went into getting you there. And that's why I think when a team wins, you know, it isn't just the team, it's the club. The club wins, and the recognition you get as a result of that, it's bigger than just the seven people who are on court.
And that'll obviously motivate you just to maintain that involvement with everything.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I'll be very, very old and still involved in any kind of form of netball. You know, it's become a real passion, and, you know, even so much as my husband is involved in our club committee, he's also helped me organise tournaments. He's sat at the table, you know, taking in results sheets. And I think very much it's that ability to grab everybody around you and say, come on, let's just do it. Why not?
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.